This is Rick Hogan. I was thinking, well, I'm going to play these cuts from a You'll Be Swingin' Christmas album, and they'll all sound like Christmas. That doesn't even sound like Christmas yet. The rest are, I'm filling in for Bill and Wendy. Today, on air from 10 or 10:11 till noon, and then on the stream, from noon to 1 on the stream, I'm replaying an old, not that old, couple weeks old, fascinating interview I did on my Sunday night show with the legendary Joe Siegel, who for 70 years in this town has been keeping jazz alive. But it is my distinct pleasure to have the cookies in here from the Polo Inn. Dave Samber has been a pioneer, a restaurateur, B&B pioneer in the neighborhood of Bridgeport for more than 30 years. Is it 33 years? David, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rick. Oh, bring us some Polo cookies. Oh, bring us some Polo cookies. Oh, bring us some Polo cookies and bring them right here.
Well, you did already. Yeah, you did already.
Well, that's
we'll all have them. David is on to specifically talk about a few things going on at the Polo Inn during the holidays. But before that, because David is a fascinating character. What? What do you mean, uh-oh?
You write obituaries, don't...
I do that occasionally. I've also written about the Polo Cafe.
Yes.
Pioneering in that neighborhood, take me back, David, to when and why you decided to move to Morgan Street, which certainly, I mean, even now, it's not like moving to, you know, Russian Division or something, no. State and Division.
That's where I left, though. I used to live in Newbury Plaza.
I know.
I don't know, Rick. You know, you have to somehow look back and say that's what God wanted. And so... we bought the building on Morgan Street as an investment to try to fix up the apartments and rent them out, almost sight unseen. And when we saw it, finally, we realized how dilapidated the property really was.
What had it been, though?
This is
what really influenced your career.
Yeah, exactly. 1914, this building was built. So over 100 years ago, and it was built by a Lithuanian who was married to a Polish woman. And on that side of Morgan Street was Polish.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of the street was Lithuanian. So for her to be able to, for him to be able to build on that side, he had to have a Polish wife, right? And there was a trolley track that ran down Morgan Street, I understand, and ran into the stockyards.
Yeah.
So there really was the other side of the tracks in Bridgeport. And depending on where you were, that had a lot to do with what kind of job you had and where you went to church and who you hung out with. And
but it was a confectionery, too.
Well, so originally it started as Kupcha's Confectionery and ice cream and sundries. I have a bag full of the original documents of the building. For example, the Alex's ledgers for when he would pay his accounts. Maybe this carpenter got $1.11 and this guy got something else. And it all totaled up to $13,700, which was a lot of money in 1914.
No kidding.
And they continued through the Depression. They started apparently sometime to charge licenses to raise more money in the city. So I have a whole series of 1930, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, of licenses to allow them to sell tobacco and some of those probably products that they were getting more taxes on.
That did, though, inspire you to say to yourself, because you were not just a real estate guy, you were a chef.
Yeah, well, I had hung out with Monique Hooker.
Right.
So when she opened up Monique's Cafe in 1983, I was all in. I was there 3 days a week, and I worked for free, and sous chef, and marketing, and you name it. We did so much together. By the time 1984 came around, the real estate market had really gotten pretty depressing.
Sure.
Interest had gone, prime had gone to 21, and I was involved with a real estate development that had a $4 million loan to First National Bank of Chicago at 2.5 over prime. So we were paying 23.5% interest. So at some point, this was no longer a fun game, real estate development. And so as I thought about how could I change my life? What would I do? And I thought, well, I don't want to open a restaurant. That was too much work. My gosh, I can't work that hard. I just did that with Monique. But a candy store, maybe I was impressed always with Nuts on Clark and what Estelle and Robert did over the years. So how hard could it be to buy something in a big box and sell it in a little bag? at a quarter pound or pound at a time.
Dave Samber, everything is hard. We got to take a break. We now have Dave Samber back in 33 years ago, 34 years ago.
I was so young. Jeez.
I know. Well, you look young, too. He's going to be here until a quarter two talking about the many events going on at the now called Polo Inn. It used to be called Polo Cafe, but the website is now thepoloinn.com. We'll be right back. Another thing that I think is really healthy for your gut and stomach is the food and cookies at the Polo Inn. Dave Samber, who has run that place for more than three decades in Bridgeport, came there as a real pioneer in that area. And quickly, Dave, in 33 years ago, it was a commercial wasteland, wouldn't you say?
It had been abandoned.
Yeah.
It was that strip at one time.
Morgan Street.
On Morgan Street. That strip, again, Polish one side. And then there was a white flight in the 50s,
sure,
and the 60s. By the 70s, a lot of places were gone. And then there was no reason to fix things up. There still is a tough reason, just because the density of the population of the area is so low. It's not a good economic base.
How were you welcomed by...
Ooh.
By? No, I'm serious about that.
It
because
was
I think,
tough. Initially,
I'll bet.
It was.
I mean, you must have been seen as an outsider, and there's always, especially at that time, there's a fearfulness of strangers.
Well, it was tougher then than it is now, let me say. It was much more welcoming.
Sure.
But I can remember, I had one time, I had my license plate said Polo Nut, P-O-L-O-N-U-T.
That's smart.
And I was driving, well, come on, gotta promote. So yeah. I was driving by the Sox Park at that time, and the policeman pulled me over. And I thought, gee, officer, I didn't do anything wrong. What was it? He said, you own Polo Nut, that place on Morgan? I said, yes. He said, what do you know that we don't know?
Interesting.
And I thought, and I said to myself, you know what?
Interesting.
There's oil, and I pump it at midnight when no one can hear. And I laughed,
and
I thought,
and the cop put the handcuffs
right
on you. Yeah.
But the idea was, people could, yeah, they were suspicious. What was this North Sider doing there? You know what? Again, I really wanted to establish a base that I could have a home for the rest of my days.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go from one apartment to one condo to this to that. I really wanted to something that was almost recession proof, but that I could sort of hang out here and make this my base and have a life.
It's been an incredible life. Absolutely did that. You purchased the building next door, which was for a time a Lithuanian movie theater. Then it became an auto mechanic store, and it's now the Golden Eagle.
It's the old Eagle Room.
Where you throw weddings, including one of mine, weddings and all sorts of other events and parties. You opened up some of the upstairs above the restaurant to, I remember seeing it a few years ago, into a B&B. Right. You have a...
And parking, free parking.
That's right, the incredible free parking.
What more could you want?
I can't imagine what more you could
want. And
that's
just it. It was a chance to really take the dreams and dream the dreams and live the dreams.
Yeah.
And rather than just keep dreaming and dreaming and dreaming. Some people just go through life, I think, and they just don't get anything accomplished. But they have a lot of good ideas.
Yeah.
I have some pretty good ideas, and once in a while we're able to make it happen.
How many rooms do you have now?
There's four suites upstairs.
And they are all themed.
Each to the Bridgeport neighborhood. So because there were five mayors from Bridgeport.
Sure. Do you still have that? I haven't been down there, sadly, in a couple of years. Do you still have that fabulous mural in the front
with
pictures of the mayors?
Yes, absolutely. Jacqueline Harrison is the artist. I just spoke to her a few weeks ago. She's going to touch it up. Needs a little touch up. It was done that was just it. Bridgeport, as it turned out, celebrated its sesquicentennial in 1986. So I opened in 85. Well, during that time, there was some community interest in trying to mark this occasion.
Sure.
And I, of course, being the North Side, being involved in every committee and every board, and I thought, oh, absolutely, I could contribute to this. Well, I don't think it was – we got to know each other, but I think it was a time when it was not nearly as – open as it would be now.
The neighborhood has changed so dramatically, and Bridgeport remains one of the most fascinating Chicago neighborhoods to me.
It's all about people.
It's history. But they've also, done a remarkable kind of multi-million dollar remaking of Morgan Street.
Well, thank you very much for noticing.
Well, you said, you told me a couple
absolutely.
Days ago that it is something
out of
Dickens.
So the first shall be last, and last shall be first. Well, we were the... we're the ugly stepsister all these years, and now we're the Cinderella, because from 31st south to 35th, and I'm in 33rd, so I'm right in the middle of all that, through a TIF finance project, we were able to do a streetscape, $4.1 million streetscape.
Wow.
That gave us the infrastructure, so we have new water mains, new sewers, and then resurfaced the top and striped it. We have stripes. We have actually side crosswalks that you can identify. But we have new bump outs and curbs and sidewalks from one end of the street to the next that are all brand new. And then the beautiful antique light posts with LED lighting. So at night, it absolutely is glorious.
You said it's something out of a Charles Dickens story.
Wow, because it's only for two blocks, three blocks, four blocks long, so it's not the whole neighborhood. But when you get on, all of a sudden, there's something about it that says, "Gee, all these buildings are sort of charming and quaint."
No question.
And it's not
a wasteland.
Yeah, there's actually things happening now.
It's visually exciting and stimulating. Right. Have you seen this increased business there? Has there been a...
Yeah, sure.
That's what a TIF fund is supposed to do.
And, of course, that's all relative to where we were and where we've been.
Sure.
I don't think we're going to see the 2004, 5, 6 years in my lifetime anymore. Those were just huge years.
Yeah.
But we're not seeing the real... I mean, for example, there was a time when there would be no Christmas parties booked. There would be no, not even teachers. There's nothing. This year we have some, and our cookie trays are flying out the door as usual.
Do you really make, Dave Samber, 38,000 cookies?
Yeah.
Well, you say it's a matter of fact. Like, I make 38,000.
But I have a staff that makes all this happen.
Well, you brought in about 10 or 12 for us to share here. But
in these trays, though, this is the other tray.
Yeah.
This side, the 12-inch tray, the 14-inch tray, the 20-inch trays, these great big massive 12 dozen cookies with 4 dozen of the Linder balls. But see, remember Stop and Shop?
Yeah, well,
sure you do, of course.
Sure.
On Randolph?
Yeah.
Well, they would have these magnificent, one-of-a-kind almost, these you wouldn't find them anywhere else. Well, that's what we wanted to be. And in order to be why someone would come to me and not go to Marshall Fields or go to Target or somewhere, we had to be something different, something wonderful. And we started it, and now all these years later, we're still doing it.
That's the slogan, and that's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. Go to thepoloinn.com while we're getting some commercials and you're hearing the news, and we'll be back after that with Dave Samber to talk about he loves the holidays. He loves the holidays, and there's nothing like Christmas for him and, in turn, for you. We'll be right back.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light.
That song is from a great CD called You'll Be Swingin'. I'm Rick Hogan filling in for Bill and Wendy. I have some more time left with Dave Samber, who runs the Polo Inn in Bridgeport. It is thepoloinn.com. It is a wonderful kind of theater event space. It is also a fantastic restaurant. It is also a B&B. It's like you're the Bill Gates of Bridgeport. You've turned into the Bill Gates of Bridgeport, an entrepreneur. David, you got a lot of things going on, and the reason I wanted you to come in, we could talk forever about Bridgeport and its history and your history in Bridgeport. Bridgeport is one of those neighborhoods that is not just on the rebound. It's going to be a showplace one of these days, and you are at the center of it all. There's a brunch on December 17th. It's called the Twas the Brunch, 7 days before the night before Christmas. That's one of your big things. What goes on there?
It's our annual, it's become sort of a tradition for folks to get together and gather during the holidays. And so this gives particularly families and friends to do it, because we take reservations, and like we normally do for Mother's Day and Easter, we give table assignments based on the size of your group or the size of your
nice.
Reservation.
Nice.
So you have to make a reservation, But it's a wonderful buffet. It's got lots of our favorite things, including our barbecue ribs and creme brulee, and it goes on and on and on. But all those menus are on our website, and that's from 10:30 till 2 o'clock on Sunday, concurrent with our gospel brunch, which is on the other side of the building, so it's on the cafe side. And that's every Sunday. That's a sing-along gospel brunch from 10 until 2 on Sundays. We're in our fifth year. Rick, that's become the biggest shift of the week.
Oh, no question.
3 weeks ago, we had 100 people on one Sunday.
Wow.
100 people
wow.
went through there.
You also are having on the your 15th annual Eve, you're having two of my favorite people down there, Mark and Ann Burnell.
Mark called me recently and asked if they could take my stage for that. This is their 15th annual.
I know.
And they used to have it at Pegasus Restaurant, which is no longer available. So consequently, they're bringing it to me. But Ann and Mark were on my stage around 2003 and 2004 when I was trying to get a jazz club going there.
Yeah, sure.
And they came on Wednesdays, and they would play with Buddy Charles. So those were wonderful times, and they know the space, they know the sound, they know the acoustic.
They are, I must tell you something, knowing them really well, you just made my heart leap thinking of Buddy.
Buddy, right.
But they are perfect for that room.
Yeah, exactly.
They are the perfect sort of entertainers.
So they're coming, and we're offering a $35 per person, which includes the buffet and the show, at 7:30. So everything starts at 7:30. On the night before New Year's Eve, December the 30th. And then New Year's Eve, we're going to have our prefix feast from 6 to 8. It's not a party with all the noisemakers. It's a wonderful evening,
wonderful
music, a great meal. And then you're home to watch the 10 o'clock news. So that's how we do it at
Polo. You seem to have, Dave Samber, against all reason, you seem to have the energy of a 25-year-old. Why is that? What is it about you, do you think? I mean, I know you love what you do.
I do, Rick. And you know, that's the difference, maybe.
Yeah.
I go back to my years with Gordon Sinclair.
Sure.
And I knew what we took a class together with him. We talked about customers, cash, and commitment.
Yeah.
And as customers and cash, you could figure them out one way or the other, but the commitment is something that's only you can decide what you want to do. And I made the commitment, this is going to be my life, and if you're going to do it, my mother used to say, you only have one time, you know, do it right.
One time around, man.
Do it right. And so consequently, it is a life setting in Bridgeport. I become sort of part of the neighborhood without thinking.
Oh my God,
now.
No
and
question.
I sing at funerals and at weddings and from neighbors and then we have all the different events that we can accommodate, up to 100 guests. We can accommodate lots of different events, showers and graduations and anniversaries.
It is. I mean, I can vouch for this. I mean, I have been there a number of times, and it is a great place. It is also a uniquely Chicago place, to my mind. Another thing that must keep you very active is having a five-year-old son named Bentley is now 5 years old.
Yeah.
He's been with you about half his life.
Yeah, two.
And that must keep you. What a great place. Also, what a great place for a kid to grow up.
That's
an incredible place for a kid to grow up.
His teacher, he goes to St. Jerome School in Bridgeport, and his teacher said she's never seen a little kid with more energy and a bigger vocabulary.
Wow.
And I think that's really because being around all the adults that he is.
Sure.
For a while, he used to come and sort of sneak the fruit off your plate or something if you weren't looking. Now he'll come and play the violin for you.
Does he sing without
being... Yes, he does. He sings.
He's just like dad, like son.
Well,
he sings.
It's interesting because he shakes his head sometimes. Where he's learning the national anthem. But now, what five-year-old wants to learn the national anthem? Well, he's heard me singing enough at different places, and there's a picture in the room that was of me when I sang at Wrigley Field. So somehow he emulates that, and he watches, and he actually shakes his head as he sings a little bit.
God.
So he's very precocious, and he's the most precious thing that's come my way, and it's great to have him.
If you were intrigued by Dave Samber and the Polo Inn, it would behoove you now or sometime today to go to the PoloInn.com, have a look at the menu, have a look at the rooms, have a look at the Old Eagle theater, and get down there. That's what I would recommend, David.
Well, it took me 12 minutes to get here from there this
morning.
Yeah,
exactly. No, that's the other thing about it.
The drive was great.
It's uniquely Chicago, just as the neighborhood is. It is uniquely Chicago, and it is not producing mayors with the frequency that it once did, but it...
Well, we got a super alderman, though, Pat...
that's right.
Thompson.
Yeah, who is related to who?
Yes,
yeah,
well,
to who?
Well,
David, it's great to see
thanks,
you.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks
stick
so
around.
Much. Let me just shout out to my staff.
Sure.
So much.
They've
my
been
customer,
there forever, right?
Yeah, Sally's still helping make the bows to the cookie trays. She's in her 31st year, and Ronnie, who I know his whole family's listening, and Esmeralda and Maria and Martin and Kevin and Kurtan and Jack and Claudia and Angie, who's probably listening from home right now. So
they have all,
thank you. They've all been with me for years and years.
Well,
and
they
years
have
and
all
years.
Over the years poured me very, very stiff drinks down
we
there.
We have 179
too.
Years of service
good
with
Lord.
My current.
Well, that says,
that's amazing.
That loyalty says something very important. David, stick
thanks.
Around. I'm going to read a Mike
Warico
poem.
Thanks, Rick.
We'll be right back.